you read what you think in the little epistle of Jude, which is a suitable introduction to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the 65th book of the Bible, the little epistle of Jude, it's usually only about a page in the Bible, Jude writing to the saints, to the sanctified, verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, once for all delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men crept in unaware. Now, verse 17, But, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the spirit. He's referring to apostate men. Men who profess the truth and turn back from it, who never really were born again. Now, particularly verse 20. But ye beloved ones, all of God's people are beloved ones. They're all saints. His children are all saints. They're all beloved ones. That's the word that's used concerning the Lord Jesus, my beloved son. But here it's in the plural. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's the first thing. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in Holy Spirit. That's the second thing. A continuous action in the present. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I take that to be a reference to the return of our Lord Jesus for us. Now, I just want to refer to Hebrews 11. If you'll turn it up, I won't read much there. I'll just ask you to keep it open while we're speaking. I didn't fasten this thing on. Is it working all right? Is it loud enough? Well, you better be telling me if I'm getting old and not thinking. You might say, how can you sing that hymn that you gave out? Well, I'm only 47 years of age. Don't believe me. Well, I am. I'm just 47. Grandfather 16 times, naturally, but I'm only 47 years in Christ. So I still feel pretty young most of the time. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That is, they obtained witness of God. God testified of them. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the spoken word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel. Now we just leave it to that. I take it for granted that you've read the Hebrew Epistle chapter 11. Because that's what I want to speak a little about. My brother's been speaking about Joseph and David. You know, when you get talking about characters that are well known, it stays with you. And I'm going to do a little of the same, Lord willing. How can we earnestly contend for the faith? By being builders. We're to build ourselves, first of all, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Three continuous actions in the present. We'll need them all the time we're down here, 24 hours a day, continually. That's how I believe. We're enabled, God has made the provision for it. Those three things. He has given us a whole Bible. They didn't have the whole Bible. They had spoken words, and they had some written parts. But we have the Bible. 66 books in one, the Word of God. When we approach it, we must approach it as the living Word of God. God inspired, God breathed. That's one thing. Reading it, meditating upon it, making it part of us, imbibing, nourishing our souls. The second thing is praying in the Holy Ghost. When He saved you, when He saved me, He put a spirit, a Holy Spirit within us. He says, Abba, Father. Now, that's something we can't explain. Papa is about the nearest I can come to it, I think. Papa. The child lifting up that appreciative word of relationship with its father. And then looking for the Lord from heaven. The Christ of God, He's coming for His bride, and then coming with His bride to reign. And God, we have a portion there by the grace of God. I submit to you then there are three things that He has made provision for in our building up, in our most holy faith, that we might battle in the faith, that we might live for God and speak for God. And like my brother Coase, the likelihood is many a time you'll have to be alone. Even though you may have fellowship, you still have to be alone. But here are some that were alone. Many a time they were alone. First of all, the great builders. You ever think about the builders? The builders of Scripture? The first great builder of Scripture is God Himself. He framed the world by the spoken word of His power. It shows what speech can do. And you say, but I'm just a boy or a girl or just an ordinary man or ordinary woman. But if you speak the word of the Lord, He has promised to bless His word. That makes all the difference. It was by the word of God that the worlds were framed. And it's by the preaching of the gospel that souls are regenerated. It's by the spoken word of the Lord that saints are edified. And yet I have gone from a conference. And we got a lift on our way. And we went home. I know many a time I went home from a conference and I said to myself, boy, you don't know your Bible the way you should. Felt like calling into a hole. Why was I missing all these things as I was reading? Why wasn't I more exercised? And I went home determined to read my Bible and meditate on it and seek the face of God that I might be taught of God, that I might know my God better, that I might live more for Himself, and that I might be more of a help among God's people, and that I might be more of a help in the gospel. I told you perhaps, many of you may have never heard, Brother Watts Nasty, he said, when he pitched his tent the first year, 1937, out in Mumico, he said, he didn't have his partner that night, he said, Bert, would you open the meeting and tell how he got saved? Well, I said, I couldn't do that, and I turned him down flat. And when I went home, I said to myself, you'll never be caught that way again. Never. I made a vow before my God that I'd always be ready to tell how I got saved. And I'd always be ready to speak the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God by His grace I've never failed that. Whenever opportunity came, whenever I was under question, and any time I had opportunity, I was ready to tell how I got saved by His grace. So I learned a lesson on this. I was thinking of a couple of incidents in my own life personally, contrasting incidents that spoke to me. Men and women of God do speak to us by their lives. Dear old brother W.P. Douglas, most of you in the gathering this afternoon never met W.P. Douglas, but the first conference I was at, he was usually up first thing in the morning, and he read in the Psalms. A big, tall, six-footer, more than six-footer, and he might have been a little taller than me, I'm not sure, with a big, long, white beard. And he spoke from the Psalms. And I look back with thanksgiving that he made an impression on me that he was a man of prayer. He knew his God in prayer. And he knew the Word of God. He read it and meditated upon it. It was part of his being. He was living in the presence of God in prayer, and he was living in the book of God. He was ready in the morning to minister simple things from God to God's people from the book of the Psalms. There are things that I never forget that he said that have stayed with me and stood me in good stead. And other preachers, I've forgotten all that they said. Never remember anything that they said. But the man was of God. He was a word of God. And he knew what it was to pray. I remember he said, when he was a young man working in a place where they had tea caddies, they were boxes where the tea came in with aluminum foil on the inside, and they were very large. He said, in the noon hour when he had his free time, he would get his lunch and eat it, and then he would get in that floor where all these tea caddies were, away off from everybody, and he'd crawl into one, and he'd talk to the Lord. And a quiet time with his God. And I said to myself, that's what I've got to do. Not necessarily in a deep daddy. You ever try that? To get close to your God. Just speak to your God. And then read his word. If you can't get talking to him, well, the best thing is to let him talk to you first by reading his word. Then you'll have something to thank him for. And it'll draw out your soul. I was thinking of another illustration in my own personal experience when I was asked to take a series of meetings with a large assembly, and I felt incompetent. And I'd been working in French a lot, and I hadn't had the opportunity to work in English very much, just about one series a year. And I asked another brother to come, and when he came, I remember there were five of us, a large assembly. We didn't have a prayer meeting, that is before the gospel meeting, but we got a prayer meeting started. There were five of us there. There were two main elders, two shepherds, and there was another brother. And there's this other preacher, a little older than myself, and myself, five of us. And I remember we knelt down beside the furnace because it was cold down there in the basement. And we all prayed. And I did something I seldom do. I opened my eyes when one man was praying. And I looked at him. And I said to my brother, what did you think of that man's prayer? Well, he shook his head. I said, I'm afraid he's away from God. Imagine starting meetings like that in a large assembly with just three of the local men to pray with you. God wrought a mighty work there. God did. God worked to restore his people and to bring blessing to the unsaved during those meetings. We were much cast upon God. There were things wrong, but God works. God can work. God can speak. And in weakness, you can speak, you can take up weak vessels, as our brother said, he takes the things that are nothing to work. Now, I want to speak with you a little about these builders. You know what you are? You're a builder or a wrecker. Oh yeah. We're all builders, more or less, but we're all wreckers. Listen, Satan finds much labor for idle hands to do. Huh? God is the great builder. He took a rib of Adam's side and he builded a woman. Grand picture of Christ building his church. But here we have seven men in the book of Genesis. This is the Genesis section of Hebrews 11. And it's built around seven men. I want to help the young believers. Remember that. Adam is set aside because he sinned. And God builds that book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, that's the meaning of the word Genesis, around seven men. The first three men are distinct. We have Abel, the worshiper. He builds an altar. We have Enoch, who walks with God. Abel is a worshiper. And Enoch, the emphasis is, he walks with God. As communion with God day by day. He walked with God. What Adam did before in the garden before he sinned, Enoch did after, outside of the garden. He walked with God. Imagine. You say there are no young people in our meeting for me to associate with. The assembly's too small. I must go somewhere else. You can walk with God. And you can walk too. The older brothers and sisters, I have found the best fellowship in my life experience with men and women of God that are older than myself. So keep you in a humble place, mind you. Can't just do what you like, just as you please. If you walk with older ones, they'll check you up. They will indeed. And it's good for our soul. It keeps us humble. And so Abel walked and he built up a testimony before his God. All these men did these things, of course. But there's a special emphasis in each one. It's a panoramic view of the believer's experience. At least that's the way I like to look at it. And then we have Noah. He builded an ark for the saving of his house. A man is joined to his house. The brother has a great responsibility. The sister has too, to help her husband. To be a help to her husband. We'll see that a little later on. But there, that man stands distinct as the third builder among men. Noah, he builded an ark. And I want to tell you, he lived in a day like we're living in today. In a wicked day. Can we worship God, build an altar, day by day? You got a household altar? Have you got a private altar? Do you worship? The altar speaks of worship. Giving to God, thanksgiving and praise, your heart going up to God for His Son, offering His Son to God. Do you walk with God? And do you expect Him to come, the Lord to come? There's a man who is walking with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was translated that he should not see death. That's our earnest expectation. It's a beautiful application for us today in view of the Lord coming back for us. And Noah, divinely warned of God. This is not his conversion. This is the climax to his believer's experience. He passes through the flood. Beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. Behold, I and the children that God hath given me. All his family went in. And safely preserved the people of the earth afterward. And then you have three that come along that are builders. And they're linked together. They're tied together. Those are three distinct ones, distinct from one another. These are linked together. These are all pilgrims. Here's a grandfather, a father, and a son. If you want to put it that way. We have Abraham, the believer, the friend of God. He obeyed God. He went out by faith. He couldn't see God, but he heard the voice of God. And he went out to God. Went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham. And he built his tent. He had the character of a pilgrim passing through. He was a true Hebrew. He was a passer over. That's what a Hebrew is. The first mention of a Hebrew is the mention of Abraham. He's a passer over. He went out from, and he went out to. We should never encourage people to go to anyone. Well, from anywhere, rather. Unless we encourage them to come to the Lord. We mustn't leave a vacuum in their lives. We mustn't try to live for God and a vacuum in our life. Sanctification is from everything that displeases God, but it's to the Lord. And He's a full provider for the one who comes to Him and looks to Him and trusts in Him. For Abraham obeyed the obedience of faith. And Isaac, well, he didn't build, well, he built up plots, but he didn't build in the sense, he built tents too, but he's a well digger. He dug wells. He bridged the gap from Abraham to Jacob. And that's what we need today. That's what God desires. Men that will open up wells. That will open up the Holy Scriptures. And give God's people draughts of the living water. He was a digger of wells. He was a builder in that sense. And Jacob. God has said about Jacob. He was a terrible character. Well, so he was. We all are, you know, in ourselves. But Jacob was a true shepherd. And he builded the flocks that were entrusted to him. He was a faithful shepherd. Knew what it was to suffer in the heat of the day and in the cold of the night. He was a true shepherd. He was a builder of the flocks that were entrusted to him. And dear Joseph, well, before we speak on Joseph, just let me mention Sarah. She was a home builder. She was in the tent. She was ready to entertain with her husband when the three heavenly messengers came down, when the Lord came down and spoke to Abraham, and Abraham stood before the Lord to intercede. She was in her tent, and she was doing everything she could in cooperation with her husband. I said to the dear hostess where I stayed for a month in a French home down at Moncton recently,
in meetings at Sediak, I said, Ann, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. She was just a whirlwind in the home there. She had two preachers down the basement for 2 weeks, one for a month. And she had people visiting continually, and she always fed them. And she had people come and stay with her overnight or over the weekend without any advance warning oftentimes. And you say, and with meetings going on almost every night, pretty well every night there. And seeking to get other people out to the meetings too. She was a whirlwind. I said, I don't know how she do it. You know what she said? She said, I learned it from my English sisters. I thought that was sweet. That was very humble. She learned it from the English sisters in the Moncton Assembly. They were very hospitable, evidently. Isn't that grand? Our example, they were home builders. They were hospitable home builders. They were entertained. And we can entertain angels unawares, the scripture says. And you can entertain somebody better than an angel, you know that? You don't know that? Well, I take God's saints, the redeemed, have a, in the new creation, they're far higher than angels. Not in the old creation, but in the new creation, we're far higher than angels. We're sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God. Mind you, you're not going to share his inheritance with us. It's undivided. We're co-inheritors with him. A full inheritance he provides. And so, they have there Sarah, a home builder. And my brother referred to Joseph. I was thinking, you know what he was? In a time of famine, he was a kingdom builder. He looked after the whole kingdom. He was in charge of the whole kingdom. He had storehouses builded, and he had the crops coming in for the time of crisis. He was in the mind of God. He was close enough to God for God to tell him the danger ahead and make full provision for the whole kingdom. And you know, he was a GP. This is a slave person. He wasn't a Egyptian. How did he get in there? I was thinking about the man that our brother was thinking about. He says to me, they were like Joseph, like the Lord Jesus. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. If we have the Lord with us, the zero with one in front of it makes ten. Yeah. Put two zeros beside one, beside him, and you've got 100. Put three zeros if we have three nothings. If you and I and somebody else is a nobody, and we're put beside him, that makes 1,000. You can multiply it. High as you like. If we're just in nothing, Paul says, I am nothing. And he comes it in his own soul. So we come down to, that takes you to reigning time, doesn't it, the kingdom? So we have Exodus section coming up, Moses. I don't want to speak about Moses so much as his mother. Her name isn't given here, you know. You know what her name was? Do you? Somebody tell you? Jochebed? Is that the way you say it? Jochebed. You'll excuse me if I don't know Hebrew. I'm just, the transliteration is Jochebed, or Jochebed. That's the mother of Moses. The parents are mentioned here. They were both believers. They were working in unison. But the mother was the one that made the ark. Not an ark like Moses made. Not an ark like Noah built. They were all builders. Moses was a builder later on too. But before Moses could build for God and receive the pattern of the tabernacle and lead God's people to victory, to dependence on God and to gather them around the tabernacle and all that business there, before that, there's a woman. She's building an ark. But it's baby. And she said to the sister, a little bit older than Moses, she said, you watch that baby, your sister. And she did what she was told because she was a believer. And God in his providential dealing, he looked after Moses and preserved Moses. So they'd be ready to be a builder. I'm just giving you a few thoughts from Hebrews 11. I hope you'll get into the rest of the chapter and see God building herds, building flocks, building up the flocks of another, building up their own flocks by appropriation, building arks, different kinds of arks, building altars, tents,
building up yourselves in your most holy faith by meditating, by studying and meditating.
You know, the best way to build yourself up after you've got a good shoe on it? Don't go off in a corner by yourself and stay there. Give it out to somebody else in private or in public. And the result will be, it'll refresh your own soul, it'll refresh somebody else, they'll pass it on to somebody else, and the result will be you'll remember it. You won't have, like my brother says, a lazy memory. It'll help you all the more to remember it and hand it on to others. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Do we believe we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking for the Lord's coming unto eternal life. God bless you.